You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
It is August 8th, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Cheers to the microphone.
Cheers, Dan James. Thank you guys for joining in on this lovely Monday evening. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Dan James.
Hello.
Stage right. If you guys are watching on YouTube, make sure you guys hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon. Get notified whenever we go live so you guys don't miss a special Red Alert podcast, as Will Bowron in the Trap is alluding to. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on. Kevin is not with us tonight for the time being. He might call in later. I don't know. We might go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know if there's enough time. Anyway.
Will it be a brown liquor Kevin phone call? I feel like we've missed that for a long time now.
I don't think it'll be brown liquor Kevin. I think it's going to be like stress heart attack Kevin, unfortunately.
Bummer.
It is just that I think it's that time of year for everybody, and you know, he's gearing up to get married. You know, it's great stress.
It is huge stress.
Yeah,
as we are both aware.
But it's fantastic stress.
100%.
Yeah, thanks everybody so far in the trap. We have Elliot Beeven, Richard Gordon, Will Bowron, Nathan Explosion. I love the fact that Nathan Explosion tunes in every time that we go live, given that he's an NYCFC fan. It's not even Oppo Research. We're not even playing NYCFC this weekend, so it's not even Oppo Research. I just appreciate it.
Well, cheers to Nathan.
Yeah,
cheers to you, Mr. Explosion.
100%. What are you sipping on tonight? You said you made yourself a pretty bad old-fashioned.
I made myself a terrible old-fashioned. I'm doing this thing, Tim. It's called bottle clearing, and it means that my wife has told me that I can't buy any more bottles of booze because they won't fit in the cabinet. So I'm drinking all the bottles of booze so I can buy more to fit in my cabinet.
That makes now, sense.
Some people have said, well, you can just make yourself an orphan bottle. I mean, potentially I may do that, but I had this one in that was getting kind of low. So I was like, oh, yes, I'll finish that one. But it's been kind of low for a long time. And then I realized why I haven't drunk it for like 12 months.
Because
it's actually fucking terrible.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, that's a lot for like for me. Scrap wood projects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, clearing out all the crap in the garage. Yeah, Kevin Bradley in the trap.
Never heard of him. Is he a new listener?
Being a trap star. Yeah, new to the trap. Kevin Bradley.
Hey, Kev. How's it going, buddy?
Did you know that downtown Lilburn got a distillery? It's not bourbon, but they do vodka, gin, and absinthe. I think those are the three.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's a new distillery?
I think so, unless it's been around for a while. I just noticed it the other day because we were down there we have a new coffee shop down there. And I think I just doxed myself, but we have a coffee shop down there that just opened up inside of like this breakfast joint. And yeah, I noticed like down the way, cause there's so much construction and new stuff going up down there. There are a lot of townhomes and then shops and all that are starting to pop up, and you know, space is getting repurposed. And I just noticed it. I looked over, I saw that there's a distillery down there. Either I've never noticed it or it's kind of new. I don't know.
It might be new because they tend to make vodka and gin because they don't take that long to make. And then maybe in 2-3 years, they'll start churning out some bourbon.
I feel like that's what Old Fourth did, right? Because Old Fourth was doing gin for a while and then they unleashed. Did they unleash a bourbon or was it just a whiskey? Just a straight whiskey?
No, it's a bourbon.
Yeah.
I have some. It's not too bad, actually.
Yeah. So. Interesting. It's just the progression of things. Yeah. I don't know what.
More time, more stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So we are in rare form because we're coming off of a win this past weekend and just like an absolute heart-stopping win against a team we have never beaten before.
Yeah. I feel like we need to preface this thing. The reason why we haven't been on the air is because of life in general.
Not because
we've just been manically depressed over Atlanta United's terrible
form. I want to say that we have spoiled everybody over the past 5 years, 6 years 100%. with our regularity. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost, we were eating our oatmeal every morning. We were getting all of our probiotics every morning. We were real regular. We've just been eating a lot of cheese this season. A lot of life cheese. So a lot of life cheese and peanut butter just blocking up the regularity system. So.
Do you remember when we first started this podcast and like beforehand, like back when we would all be doing it in person and before the pod, we would all sit down and watch all the highlights from the week from all the games. Yeah. And it was so much fun. But now it's like, I've got responsibilities.
Lots of, Kevin's right. Lots of stuffed crust pizza, just sitting like glue in the old production schedule.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, I say those were the days. I thoroughly enjoy having a daughter. So I know people talk about that, like, oh, it's the good old days. I do. It was quite the time. Between the three of us working pretty demanding daytime jobs and then having families, it's been a lot bigger of a commitment to try and get this up and running on a weekly basis. But thank you guys for tuning in, especially coming off of a crazy comeback win, not even stealing a point. For once, like, we're not stealing a point, we're stealing 2 points at the end of that match in the 96th minute. I'll just go ahead and skip to that. Andrew Gutman, second game back, right? It was a second sub appearance, and just what an amazing goal. It completely makes up for the shitting the bed, as it were, to the reporters. I don't even remember who that was against when he missed right in front of an open goal.
Didn't he have a terrible, I think it was, I want to say it was Chicago, where he like had a terrible cross in Chicago? Or are you talking about pre-injury Gutman?
Oh, pre-injury Gutman, for sure. Mm-hmm. He famously told the reporters, and it might have been Joe Patrick, that he shit the bed in front of goal. Yeah. Speaking of Joe Patrick, cheers to him. I mean, we haven't been on since he's doing all the Atlanta sports for all the outlets now. Just, I don't know how he's getting through it all. Maybe just by following the knees over toes guy workouts, but he's everywhere. Man is everywhere.
I mean, that's why Joe Patrick cannot be killed by conventional weapons. So he's doing it all, man.
Yeah. I think he is what they used to refer to as a man about town. Is that the right term? Yeah.
Yeah. Or does that mean like he's some sort of gigolo?
For the radio station.
Whoring himself around all the sports teams.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I thought that was pretty great. So anyway,
yeah, that's fantastic.
Walk us through that Andrew Gutman goal and how your reaction to that, Dan.
Man, I was, when Seattle scored, it just took everything out of me. I was like, okay, well, here we are regressing back to the norm, because I felt like we played them pretty well. And then, of course, we get him on the break on a counter transition, and then Andy Glutz, man, he just takes a crack at it. Kind of like, I wasn't sure if it was going in at first. I was like, okay, it's just another speculative goal. But Fry never moved, and it just went right into the corner. And it was like, I mean, it was fantastic. I'm so glad to finally beat Seattle in a game, in an actual MLS game.
Yeah. It was, it's nuts, man. Like, and how, like that.
How many times have we thought Gutman was going to be close to scoring a goal? I mean, he's in the past, he's had a ton of chances, but never able to put it away. Then he scores an absolute golazo.
Yeah.
The from ambition. Outside the 18.
The ambition to take that strike. It's not even that, it's cross body with his left foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like cross body into the far post. Like that's, I thought that was mighty impressive. It's, I mean, I will say, I don't want to get our hopes up. Still no back-to-back wins since like the De Boer era, right? We haven't won back-to-back matches since De Boer was here, I think.
Can't even think about that.
I think it was like December of 19 is when we had back-to-back wins for the last time. In Seattle, I'm just putting a damper on this real quick just to kind of level set expectations because Seattle is not in great form. I think they've won, two out of their last seven matches, eight matches, something like that.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. I mean, since they won, I mean, they did win Champions League. So I feel like their season's already a roaring success.
That's
but
fair.
They've lost Joel Polo for the season. Rui Diaz is still coming back into form. But I mean, he still played almost 30 minutes, I feel like, and he was dangerous.
Right.
I hate playing against him. I love Rui Diaz when he is not playing against us. So they had most of the players, but just like we've been decimated with injuries, a lot more than they have been. It was a pretty good performance. I mean, I know we're coming off a win. It's, you know, I feel like when we played Orlando, it was a good performance. I mean, Chicago was boring, but it wasn't, in the eyes of Pineda, like, it was a good performance. But part of me is like, is this just a bright beam of sunshine in a really terrible season? Or is it what I want to believe, Tim? This is where it all turns around.
Yeah, I had that thought too. So as soon as that goal goes in, I'm like, is this the turning point that we face as a franchise this season? Is this the one to kick us into gear? And I think, honestly, it's tough for me to decide that because I think we have a lot of tough questions, but really just one really tough question that I think remains to be answered, and that's what's going on with Joseph Martinez the rest of the season. Because it's, I mean, we can get into that later, but I mean, Ronaldo Cisneros on the score sheet again.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, Joseph was he was beneficial in that goal, and it's surprising. Honestly, it was a little surprising. Did you feel like it was surprising to you that it didn't get called back?
Because
the impact Joseph had on that goal.
You're talking about Cisneros' goal?
Yeah.
What was it? Oh, man. Arriaga he had stepped off the field behind the goal line, so everyone was onside.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So
I was thinking, like, whenever they initially showed the replay, it was just that Joseph was blocking Stephen Fry. And.
But the thing is, you could see in MLS that they would call it offside because of that, because it's MLS. But thankfully, thanks to Arriaga and his laziness and not getting his butt back on the field, he played everyone onside. And I think it was New who ultimately deflected the goal.
He was
into the back of his own net. So
he was the one in front of Joseph whenever Cisneros hit that towards goal. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, Elliot Beavens saying Ronaldo is the future, and that's a question I want to ask you. Is like, given his run of form, he has, if I'm not mistaken, 8 goals in 17 matches, or is 7 goals in 18 matches? But hold on, just 1 second, I'll pull that up. The question is, you know, we extended his loan. I think it's 7 and 18. He was out of favor, I guess, at Chivas. Is this a move that we make? Granted, he's probably a TAM guy to bring in on a permanent basis.
I just go ahead, Tim. You finish your thought.
I was just going to say, I mean, and the question is whether, you know, again, what we do with Joseph Martinez, because I think that has a lot to do with what Ronaldo Cisneros' future looks like at Atlanta United, because you don't want to spend money on a striker who you want to be your focal point whenever you have another guy that's kind of trying to share that load, especially when that guy's a DP. And that's one of the questions I wanted to ask you tonight, and maybe we can go ahead and get to it after Cisneros, but like, is Joseph, knowing that I think we restructure his, he's up for an extension after this year or next year? I think his contract is up next year, right?
He's got, I think we've got an option. I think I heard today on Five Strike Final, he's actually got an option for the next 2 years.
Gotcha. It's a player option, right?
They're option years. I don't know.
Team option?
I don't know if it's team or player, but.
Man, it's just like, what do you, is he a TAM guy? With given his
Joseph?
Current Joseph, is he a TAM guy given his current run of form and his outlook right now?
I love Joseph. I love everything that he's done for this club, but
he's breaking up with him.
You just can't have someone.
I just want you to have a better team. You deserve a better team.
Well, I mean, that's a whole nother subject, but I feel like in this MLS system, you cannot have your DPs underperform. So he cannot be a DP. Do I want to sink a whole bunch of TAM money in him? No. I think this is like breaking up with someone, but saying you'll still be their friend when you don't really want to be their
always
friend.
Works out. Always works
and
out.
It's like there's like a weird thing, you like hang out and stuff when really you just need to sever it. You need to go your separate ways. Like, I mean, I'm fine. I'll build Joseph a statue. That's fine. I'm absolutely fine with that because he won us an MLS Cup. He's been the best player to ever put on, him and Almiron have been the best players to ever put on Atlanta United uniform.
And Breccia.
Of course, and Breccia. But you've just got to let him go. I feel like you've got to. I mean, I'm even to the point because of the opportunity costs of the positions and the TAM. Or the exam, if it's TAM or GAM or whatever. I mean, there's almost to a point, do you waive him so you can open up that spot? What's that DP spot? What is that value to you? And I think a DP spot for Atlanta United, because we have the economic advantage to go after very expensive players. And at a center forward position, a striker position, I mean, those are the guys who get paid the most across the world. So it's not only is it just like a DP spot, it's the striker, the main striker position. And I'm just looking at Transfer Market. He's valued at 12.5 million. I mean, I don't think we would get anything close to that, even if we were managed to pull off a trade. I mean, someone would have to take him on as a DP. There's potential that some other teams around the league would take him on as a DP. I feel like that's a really big gamble. I mean, we're in the, you know, almost 2/3 of the way through 2022 and he just hasn't shown being able to get back to form. And that was the start of 2020. I'm really sad about it, but I feel like it's time for us to, in this offseason, we need to part ways with Joseph if he cannot get back to where he was. Sorry, go ahead, Tim.
No, go.
Well, I was just going to say, so Cisneros' value is like 700,000 euros. So what's like a million? Well, maybe not anymore, actually.
No.
It's probably very close to $700,000. So he, I don't think he would be a Tam guy.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I'd keep him around. I'd keep Dom Dwyer around as well. But you've got to.
Then what do you do?
Big DP.
What do you do? What do you, you take that DP slot that Joseph Joseph gives you if we sever ties or buy him down, whatever. What do you do with that DP slot at that point? If you're keeping Dom Dwyer and Cisneros, surely don't go off of, I don't know. You don't put a striker
I'm bringing
up there, right?
I'm bringing in a striker.
Okay.
I'm bringing in. So to me, Cisneros and Dwyer, Cisneros has seemed to have played he's on loan as well. So I don't know. I kind of feel
right.
like you'd take your, you'd see how he goes the rest of the year. The nice thing about bringing him on board or maybe doing another loan is that he's familiar with the guys, depending on how much they blow up the roster. But I if Dom Dwyer can give you another year on the salary minimum, you keep him around because he's proved he can score goals. He's that personality who will, you know, he was chiding the fourth official during the game. You want that guy who can get under people's skin. He's been fantastic. I think he's almost been one of the signings of the season based on his value from how much he's worth.
I mean, 100%. When you look at the form that he was in after he left SKC, going to Orlando, being, aside from whenever he played us, feeling like he was underperforming there and then in Toronto. And then I think, did he play in New England? Play New England for a couple games or some shit like that. Anyway, no, you're right. I mean, everybody needs a Felipe. Everybody needs a Dom Dwyer. Somebody to get a Dax McCarty even to get under people's skin and to, you know, like somebody with a 90 plus and shithousery on FIFA. So you need somebody to do that. To Pierce Hicks's comment, it's tough for me because I agree with this. But I also disagree with this just because it's MLS. So, you know, Pierce in the trap saying after 2023 season, if he's still trash, talking about Joseph, then negotiate or sell. I don't think he's trash, though. I don't think he's trash. I just think that I don't feel good about spending a DP slot on him. And he said this is his first bad season. And that's the problem to me with MLS is like you have to cut bait given the salary structure. Whenever somebody you're spending a prized one of three slots on is not performing. And I get it. I mean, he's had injuries, but I mean, it is what it is. At a certain point, like you said, I mean, I'd build a statue for him in a heartbeat. He's, you know, my favorite player from Atlanta United over the past, whatever, six seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And is it? Yeah, it's six seasons, right? Good God. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, sometimes you have to separate and part ways. I wanted to go towards, go ahead, Dan. It sounded like you had something to say there.
Yeah. So I'm just looking up. He scored 12 goals in 2021, played a fair amount of minutes. I feel like the opportunity cost for me outweigh the value that he could potentially give you next year. And next year he's going to be 30. You just don't often see guys come back from that. I mean, to me, the age, there's too many things working against it in my mind, but I mean, yeah, I think that's going to be too late. I feel like you've held on to him, and I feel like it just needs to start anew. Because part of what I feel is like this, it feels stale, and it's almost like sentimentality keeping him around, and that is not a healthy reason to keep players around because of sentimentality, especially when they're taking up a DP spot in this league.
Yeah, 100%. If he loves I don't know. That sounds bad to say. I was going to say, if he loves the club and the city as much as he does, I think it's, there would probably be some mutual understanding at that point if that was the way that they went.
Well, and then I don't think, I don't think that he should. I mean, if he's got a contract and he can control his contract, then he should go for whichever gets him the most money. I totally understand.
100%.
We're the ones who agreed to the contract. Get your money. But if we can put together a trade for someone to take on that contract, I mean, that's the leverage you're going to have. I worry that we wouldn't be able to sell him because I just don't know where he would go. I haven't done as much research on that, but maybe you could sell him easy. But
yeah, I don't know where he would go either. I think that's definitely a hard spot to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it puts all the power in his hands.
Right. So. And yeah, I mean, to Pierce's follow-up, I hear you better watch Pity and Barco get to be mediocre for over a year and still get paid. And yeah, he's exactly right. But if I was in charge, as I'm going to be taken over from Darren Eales, I would cut it, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big decision for the new guy in charge to have to make, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I mean, there are going to be problems to come in and try to alleviate.
Well, the nice thing about a new person is they don't have any allegiances.
Unless they're in-house.
Yeah, I don't think we should hire anybody in-house. Darren Eales came from the Premier League. Surely they're going after the highest tier because we've got the money. We can pay them whatever they want. There's no salary cap there. So...
Yeah. I mean, Michael Edwards is still on sabbatical, the guy who helped construct the Liverpool team. You know, the current Liverpool team that, you know, title contenders. I don't know, man. It's there are people out there. I'm just going to go through some of these comments. Will Bowron saying, I don't know, man. Cisneros keeps feeling like he's lucky, not skilled, where luck equals skill plus, or no, what is luck? Luck is opportunity. And preparation, right? So he's just saying pick up a new striker. Kevin Bradley, new face to the trap, saying new striker prospects over Cisneros. Carlos Rangel, that's a new thing. Joseph is having a baby boy, as he revealed on the old Instagram today.
Didn't even know he had a girlfriend. Not that I'm 100% up to speed with Joseph's love life.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, when Barcelona can't pay Robert Lewandowski's contract, do we try to bring him over as a DP? Like when the checks just stop flowing and he's like, what do I do?
Yeah, I'd give him a 1-year deal. Yeah. Try him out.
Yeah. I mean, that begs another question, Dan. It's a serious one too. I feel like, and you used to talk about this all the time, Paul McDonough saying we caught lightning in a bottle with the young guys that we signed, our DPs, whenever we constructed the team and Tata Martino and everything. It doesn't seem like the three young DP hot South American prospects has really panned out for us since that first and second season.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that our view of the construction of an MLS team, do you think our view is maybe a little ahead of its time? That we shouldn't be snubbing our nose at high rent, like a Gareth Bale. Not that he's going to come to Atlanta over a city like LA, but surely there are players like that that I feel like we're not. I don't ever see us in the mix to sign those types of players. And I don't know if there's some sort of stigma with signing over 30s and it, you know, tarnishing the league or the perception that this is not a quote unquote retirement league when, you know, Gareth Bale had offers to go back to Tottenham, to go to Cardiff and they go play in, you know, whatever, China for tons and tons of money. But I mean, I feel like there's an unjust stigma around that just based off of some of the, and honestly, just a few really bad signings that have happened, you know, Giorgio Chiellini being one.
What the fuck was that?
Reminds me of this time where somebody I know caught a ball in the box in high school. And he was on defense. but not the keeper, guy on our high school team. Yeah. It's like, what? Just slapping two hands of the ball in the middle of the field.
He's like, I'm done, guys. I'm done. Yeah. It's like, I'm so freaking old. I cannot run anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it's all about balance. I feel like what's gone on, like with what Joseph was, he was talking about, like signing guys for business reasons rather than players. And I think that some of that has gone on. And I think it's probably gone all the way to one side where.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Where it should have been more balanced to look for guys who are going to be good potential value sell-ons, but also guys who are going to fit the system. And we've also had a bunch of different coaches, which has not been great to establish a foundation for a system, but it's just been unbalanced. And I think if you're going to really be a forward-thinking team and you want to bring in those exciting young players from South America or wherever they're from, I think that the most impact is going to be on the front three positions, or maybe at the center attacking midfielder as well. I think if we bring in, tested veterans from overseas, then that's, you bring them in as a TAM. Like I was like, Gareth Bale would be great if we could get him on a TAM deal, if we can afford the TAM, to fill in the other positions. I want to see those attacking young players, but I want to see there's going to have to be some balance there, which is what I'm struggling with, because I mean, was it Five Strike Final? It may have been Doug, or it may have been someone on Twitter, but like when they traded Gressel, they really underestimated the amount of cultural capital that they were trading away. Because when they started out, their marketing strategy was to create a lifestyle around the club. And that's what everybody bought in. It was extremely successful. I mean,
like
the other
WeWork.
Thing was,
it's like WeWork, right?
Yeah. The other thing that helped the play on the field was good, but that combined with the marketing was the reason for the explosion in fandom. And when they had all that precious cultural capital that they had established and built, they took it for granted and therefore traded players away. Like, and of course that's always hindsight. You're not going to understand that, because then you feel like you've built yourself a pedestal and it's like, okay, now we're a real soccer team. Now we need to, players are essentially numbers for business reasons, so we need to just go ahead and move on if we can't make the numbers work. So
I agree. I mean, it's tough, right? Because, and again, it has to do with the model of this league and the restraints that you're put under as a front office, where you can build that lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. And you can build that culture, that atmosphere of winning and flair and all that. And it can be gone in a second, because all it takes is one or two deals to try and shore up the books because of the restrictions that you have with the salary cap. And you end up with just a stale product. And as Pierce is saying, super average midfielders on big money. And surely the guy that's coming in is going to be able to see that, hopefully. I mean, we would think that that would be the case. Can I rattle off a few free agents, you know, guys that are currently out of contract in, sure. in world football, and tell me what you think about their prospect? Like the Diego Costa, 33 years old, still, I mean, would you sign a guy like that to play up front for a few years, finish out his
career
here?
Because I think Diego Costa's kind of a pussy. He comes across as this big man. And
how is he not the same character as Dom Dwyer, just in a bigger package?
Because Dom Dwyer is a lot cheaper. Plus, the thing is with Diego Costa is he's a bully, and bullies are cowards. So when you punch bullies back, bullies just go into a little corner, which has kind of been how he's been. I don't know. I do not like Diego Costa, and that's fine. Cost too much.
John Anthony Brooks. We have a need at center back, right?
Oh, John Brooks. Okay.
I didn't realize until now that he's out of contract. I guess I don't follow from Bundesliga very
Wolfsburg,
close.
But he's going to the World Cup, right?
He has to. No, actually, I don't think he is. I think he and Berhalter doesn't rate him very highly.
Okay. So, I mean, if we can, would you give him a TAM deal?
I would think so. I mean, if he's looking, and this one might be realistic, is the transfer window closed at this point? This might be.
Yeah, it is. No, I mean,
he's a free agent. You could still sign guys, right? If they're not under contract.
I think so.
Can you not register players right now, even if they're on free transfers?
Let's just go with you can. He's $7 million on transfer market. I think probably going to be a TAM guy.
Yeah, I would think so too. And he's probably looking for time to maybe try and get back in the team. I would definitely try and sign him though. I think he might have better prospects with better teams, bigger teams. Who did I just miss? I think Adnan Januzaj might be too big of a name.
He's still pretty young, or is he like?
He's 27. Yeah, he's 27.
Januzaj. He's an attacking player though, isn't he?
He is. Yeah, he's a right winger. And then Andrea Belotti. I don't remember who he was playing for last year, but he's the top guy in terms of ratings for free agents, like the highest valued free agents right now.
How do you? This will be great podcast material, Tim. How do you spell Belotti?
B-E-L-O. T-T-I?
B-E-L-L.
No, B-E-L-O-T-T-I. He played for Torino last year.
Oh, this is great stuff. Do we have Andrea Belotti yet? He's valued at $20 million. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, coming from Torino, we've had some decent players come from Torino.
I mean, I wouldn't be against it.
So he'd be on a free.
He would be on a free.
If we can pay his wages.
So would, and this is my pick, and he's not on the transfer window. I tweeted about it the other day, and Pierce Hicks brings it up. He's saying Memphis Depay or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang if they get cut by Barcelona. And I would take Memphis Depay in a heartbeat. He's 28 years old. Would absolutely wreck MLS. Has the flair, has the speed, can finish everything, which is absolutely dominate this league. I think he'd be the perfect centerpiece if we do indeed move away or move on from Joseph Martinez. But
so he is. Would he be on a free?
He would be on a free, but he would end up probably being a DP. I would think, unless you do like a Gareth Bale. I don't think, is Gareth Bale a DP right now? Or is he getting
he's a TAM guy, and there's
he's getting the Ibrahimovic treatment, right?
Where how did they manage to make that happen?
It's like agree to a TAM deal now, we'll give you a DP deal next year type of thing. And that would be amazing. was trying to think. There were a couple other guys on here. I guess Mertens is 35 years old. You probably don't want to do that, right? Like, would you take Edinson Cavani for the last half of the season?
Yes, I would take him for the last half of the season.
Yeah. There's guys like that that are all over the place. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I would. So for the end of the season, you know, if we are, Atlanta United are apparently always in win now mode. So yeah, I would take a flyer on one of those guys. But it's not going to happen now. So, but yeah. Plus, that's then you're sending a message to Joseph. It's like we don't trust you. So
hire your replacement and make you train him.
Yeah. Well, the reason I go with Cavani is because I don't think he would be Joseph's. I mean, he would be his replacement for the end of the year, but then I would say goodbye at the end of the year and go with someone else.
Yeah.
Some young guy. But then we've only got an analytics department that apparently is only one person right now, Tim. Which is nuts.
Fantastic.
So, fantastic. I mean, I guess when Lucy Rushton, she left, she took whoever was available with her. But, I mean, you can kind of see when companies don't prioritize departments and they kind of shrink or don't have as much influence. But I feel like in this modern day and age, you need to prioritize that department.
So you're saying we should try and steal Lucy Rushton back from DC?
Oh, as the president? Could you imagine?
Yeah, I can. I mean, she has history here. She was that analytics person, right? Technical development director, right?
DC are having money problems.
Yeah.
Man, now that's, why had I not, that's so obvious. Why had I not thought about that?
Yeah. Technical recruitment, not, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I think.
Let me tweet the team. Yeah. I probably haven't thought of that.
Yeah. We just put it out there that Wayne Rooney might be a misogynist. Like that type of, put that out there. Doesn't.
I like Wayne Rooney.
Oh, I pity you.
He's done a lot.
I was actually going back and forth with one of my good friends today. He is a big Everton fan. Hates Steven Gerrard with every fiber of his being. And I feel very much the same about Wayne Rooney. So,
yeah. Well, that's because you're a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, and he played for my two least favorite teams on the planet.
Pierce Hicks in the track. I actually like Parada, like a reliable Honda Civic. Not flashy, but gets the job done all the time. I agree with you, Pierce. I think Parada is actually a really good signing by the much maligned Carlos Bocanegra.
He said it.
But
Dan wants Boca promoted. That's what he wants.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Boca for president. No, I think...
Quite literally.
I like Parada a lot. He's seemed to have gelled the defensive line back together. He seems to be making Alan Franco look a lot better. So
like a calming presence, right?
I think Teodor, was it Teodor Football or was Johannes? Maybe it was Johannes that put out, Parada has increased, has moved Atlanta United from like the 19th team in aerial duels won to the first, which is pretty incredible. I mean, he scored a goal with his head, I think, outside of the last game we played. Was the last time? Yeah, in Orlando. And then we hadn't scored since this weekend. So, yeah, I'm liking Parada. He's on loan, I believe.
I thought he was a free transfer.
No, he's on loan from Tigres until the end of the season. He's valued at $300,000, so I feel like that is someone you want to pick up because that would be a pretty good deal.
Yeah, him and Miles Robinson and Alan Franco, I guess, back there.
Yeah, he just seems like the gel to pull them all together because Campbell and Franco wasn't working that great.
He's like a level-headed LGP.
Yeah. Yeah. So no, I've been happy with him.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that as well. I've enjoyed his arrival as well. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to get too excited. It's hard not to after seeing that goal from Koopman. Get too excited about
Yeah, I feel like we've been pretty morose coming off a win against Seattle.
Yeah, that's true. That said, we're about to go into the Queen City, home of Skyline Chili, home of Brandon Vasquez, new home of Brandon Vasquez, who might win the Golden Boot. Now that we're talking about Atlanta United's lack of goal scoring from forwards, Brandon Vasquez, the one that got away, the one that we shipped away. It was an expansion draft. We didn't
Expansion
protect
draft.
him, and Nashville picked him up and then sent him to Cincinnati.
Yeah, what could have been Brandon Vasquez, but that's just crying over spilt milk, Tim. Nothing we do
It's
about that.
crying
We
over.
don't even know if we kept him, he would have may not have developed into what he's become in Cincinnati with 14 goals this season.
Dude took that rage inside of him from
From Barca.
Barco and just channeled it. Unlike Barco, what is Barco doing now? He's gone playing down in Argentina.
Played at River Plate. Yep. It's
Yep.
pretty good playing at River Plate. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
Barca,
two
what
goals in
the?
21 games. He's just tearing it up.
I feel like Joseph's comments were pointed at someone like Barco because, I mean,
Oh, yeah.
he did run. He did put that effort in, but he just never gelled with any of the team. It felt like there was never any chemistry. I even feel like there's more chemistry in what we saw on Saturday than what Barco ever had here. So, ugh.
Yeah.
Barco, what a bust.
All right. Well, what do you have, Dan, for that? I'm not going to tee this up like Kevin. I guess he's not going to call in, but or not going to join us. But what do you have for a download tonight? You got one for us?
I've got a little bit of a download. I mean, it's been a while. I've been saving it up, so let me get to the standings. There you go.
You guys have waited for it. He's been charged and loaded. I can't do this like Kevin can. I just can't do
What
it.
is this music?
It's just stock music that comes with StreamYard. It's just some pretty good stuff. Like that one's just called Rock.
Cool
And then
rock.
there's Night Driving, Lo-Fi. Into space, feeding the ducks.
Well, let this one go while I talk over it. I want to talk over
Okay.
this one. All right, FC Cincinnati are six in the East. They've played 24 games, so we've got a game in hand on them. And they have 32 points. So if everything goes to plan and we can win our extra game in hand and the other games in front of us, we could potentially leapfrog them. Their form has not really been great. In fact, in the form tables, they are 17th in the league, where Atlanta are 16th. However, they have a far superior goal scored with 40 goals. Brandon Vasquez attributing for 14 of those. Atlanta United have 31 goals against. 41 goals against. 48. What am I talking about? 31 goals Atlanta United have scored, but our goal differences are both minus three. So they've had past five or six games. They've had four draws, one loss, one win. They've scored a lot of goals, but conceded an awful lot as well. They've had a very consistent lineup. If you look on who scored, they have a lineup of like, let's see, three, four, one, two. Basically plays like a 3-4-3. So they've played 16 games with that one, four, drawn eight, lost one with that, scored 26 goals with it. The key to this team is Luciano Acosta. I was doing a little bit of research before we got on. he is targeted the most by any player in the team in receiving passes. So they have targeted him in a pass 1,101 times. The next highest behind that is Alvaro Barrial, who is at 714 times they've been targeted. So everything goes through Acosta. He is critical to what they do. He is also, and Acosta's receiving percentage is 82.9, so it's pretty good, and progresses the team forward 146 times, which is second behind Vasquez, which is 171, just playing the ball forward. If my calculations are right, Tim, Acosta received his fifth yellow card playing against Philadelphia this weekend. So Luciano Acosta, who has caused Atlanta United so much heartbreak in our entire existence, should be suspended for this game for yellow card accumulation. I am praying, and that is my hope, that we fail upwards and win this game. Otherwise, I mean, they've got a relatively solid, well, it's not solid because they've been leaking like a sieve, but they just managed to score. Tyler Blackett, Jeff Cameron, Ugland, Tyler Blackett of the X-Man United, Tyler Blackett, didn't last much longer very there. Though they will have the addition, have the potential addition of Matt Miazga, so he may be ready to play, which could shore them up defensively. But then it's like, how much training has he really had? How much time has he had to gel with these guys? Can you put Matt Miazga into the lineup straight ahead, and how much is that going to help them? So I'm assuming, I think Barrial is the guy who comes in to replace Acosta, but Cincinnati, this will be the first game this season where so I'm hoping that gives them a little bit of a wrinkle that they can't get over. And also, I hope I'm right about that. So with that, I mean, it's really difficult. It's like if Atlanta United can go to Cincinnati and win this game, then it's like more hope. It's more fuel to the hope fire. But then if we, it's kind of regressing back. But we are getting some guys fit. I mean, Hernandez was back for the few appearances he's had. Obviously, we saw Gutman back in the lineup. So I think Sosa played so much better. I'm hoping Sosa can go 90 this time. The only thing is Rosetto is going to be out with his ankle. I mean, not a lot of people rate Rosetto. I think Sosa is going to have to be the key to this team if we're really going to progress and potentially make it to the playoffs. I mean, we're kind of in striking distance of the playoffs, so we could make it. We obviously could not. There's so much unpredictability team that it's so difficult to really make a prediction. It really could go anyway. So that's my download, Tim. What's your...
Well, we're like you said, we're within striking distance of playoffs right now. If we win the game that we have in hand, we would leapfrog Chicago. But then again, so would New England. New England would actually leapfrog Cincinnati if they win their makeup game. So, I mean, it's going to be kind of a crazy rush to the finish. I think that, I mean, Cincinnati's defense has been pretty piss poor. Like you said, they've been kind of leaking like a sieve all year. They have the worst defense in the league. Did I hear you say that? There's worst in, no, second worst in the East behind DC. But definitely, like, by four goals, the worst in among playoff ranks. And that's Montreal in third, and they've given up 39 to the 43 that Cincinnati have. And the next biggest jump, or the next jump there, is 9 goals. So they're kind of in rare company in the playoff spots and how many goals they've given up. I say all that to say, if Matt Miazga is fit, I don't think they're even going to care about scheming. You know what I mean? Like getting him ingrained in the team. I think they'll probably just throw him in there, see how it goes. I mean, you don't sign a guy like that to have him sit if he's in game shape. So I don't know. I'm a little jealous they signed him.
How they signed him from Chelsea?
You were breaking up, Dan. What did you say?
Did they sign Matt Miazga from Chelsea?
Yeah. Actually, no. I think he was on a free. I think his contract ran up with Chelsea after, like, his, what did he have, five loans. Yep. Vitesse, Nantes, Reading, Anderlecht, and Alaves. Yeah. Sign him for a free, which is a little disappointing.
Man, it's like, why did have
to... Yeah, I'm
wondering
losing
how bad it... Are you still losing me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to close everything.
Turn off the torrent.
Now?
I can hear you better, I think.
Oh.
See how it goes. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you miss out on a guy like that when you have a need in defense the way we do.
Yeah, that's pretty disappointing to hear that. So, yeah. Well, I mean, Parada's been doing good, so maybe Matt Miazga may not have fit here. So,
yeah, I don't know. They're definitely a team on the come up. It's going to be an exciting game, I would think, just given the amount of goals they give up, the amount of goals that they score. I mean, it's going to be tough. To stop them from scoring, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I worry that, like, I mean, is he that good that he's going to be able to just come in and put everything together for them? But, I mean, Parada has almost done that in the little time that he had. So, I don't know. Is Miazga there? Do you know? Is he training this week?
I actually don't know. Okay. I could probably find that real quick, though. Yeah, I think I'll just get depressed watching Brandon Vasquez play. But I think we do have a good shot at winning this match. Yep. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Looking forward to it.
Make a prediction.
I think we win this 3-2. I think we win this 3-2, and we, we get back-to-back wins for the first time. Quick question. Carlos Rangel's asking, Gutman or Wiley is starting left back for next game?
I want Wiley on the wing. Up. But then you're going to have to sit somebody. I think Wiley's getting better. I mean, you got to play Gutman. That's left. But I want to play Wiley further up the field and not give him that defensive responsibility.
What's your score prediction for this weekend? All right, I think Dan has officially dropped out.
Tim.
Yes.
Am I still there?
Yes.
It's terrible. Tim, this doesn't normally happen, but the pessimist in me is coming out. I think lose this. We realize that this week would blip.
I lost it. I'm going to assume you said 2-1 or 2-0. That's what it sounded kind of like.
I said 2-0.
2-0. Okay. You heard it, folks. 2-0. I think given the connection issues and the fact that we're about to get close to that hour mark, we're going to call it a night. Thank you guys as always for tuning in. However you found us, hit the like button, subscribe button, notification bell, leave us a rating or review on whatever platform if they got it. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure that you guys follow us on Twitter. That's at Home Before Dark. That's B4Dark. Any other parting thoughts, Dan? If you can get them out.
Yeah, England women, you won the Euros. I can't believe it. England actually won a major tournament in like 50. It was amazing. I screamed so loud. Kids started crying.
Well, that sounded bad. This is like one of those T-Mobile commercials where Aaron Judge starts doing batting practice against the little toddlers on the T-ball field. But yes, congratulations to the England women. Looking forward to that U.S. women's national team match against England later this year. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. We love the hell out of you guys. Again, subscribe, follow. Just keep joining us week after week. Enjoy the game this weekend. And as always, be home before dark.